Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about integrating podcasts with YouTube and Facebook. I'm just going to tell you sort of strategically where I'm going, and there's many layers of strategy and where I'm up to. It's nothing too flash, nothing too spectacular. It's a general slow march. So the back theme is I've been knocked around a bit and slowly getting up my cognitive skills, being able to podcast, speak off the top of my head. It's something I couldn't do after the operation. I'd sort of lost some memory and lost some skills associated with it. So this is people who are new to this about 3 months ago, and over a year ago I had heart operations, and that knocks you around. And also coming back to the work environment, one would where there's sort of not necessarily going to give you a fair wicket. You want to be able to roll out your best shot, and now the big question is, what is your best shot? And that is a research question. Ostensibly, you can I had already sort of done printouts of seating plans and had a website per lesson and had it bolted up, but the evidence that the feeling on the ground, that wouldn't be enough. So I looked at the idea of sort of a dual short-term, long-term. Short-term, I can do a podcast of the actual lesson, sort of be able to read through the text, and so students can hear me read through it and go through it, get an international point. And then long strategies by continuously podcasting all the time and talking all the time, all my overall skills have improved. Now, that's the sort of the drive, the driving strategy. And now, overall, there's an emergent strategy in terms of sort of like little islands of skill, being able to just even record a podcast, but then publish it, and then publish it into an engine, and then you sort of look at, well, how does it link up? So it links up very naturally with iTunes. In fact, I went through iTunes, sort of, I'll put this on iTunes, and then doing that iTunes, because iTunes is the feeder of Blogger. iTunes feeds off Blogger. It got me into the actual blogging mechanism, and just looking at the way Blogger is structured, I could see that down the track, because I had built bots which created whole websites of integrated web pages that this is just web pages that you're putting up, and so you could take the basic information and write an engine. I knew that I could do that eventually down the track, but it's no point doing it if the other things weren't there. So down the track, you'd see me gradually get up the podcast rate of several a day, and then the policies and procedures where I had podcast, the link underneath the word podcast, so you press that, then the link under the naked URL, because that just cut down the amount of time for me getting across it to the enclosure. Still, I think I might be on the edge of getting through the enclosure problem. And it's a sort of a general problem. So when you do a podcast, it's just a blog entry with an attached audio file to it. And of course, in the actual blog entry, you can actually cut around that and actually have the link to the audio file direct, if you're hosting the audio file direct. So that would allow people to avoid the download step. They can sort of preview what's going on. But again, never having actually listened to or subscribed to anyone's podcast, I'm out in the wilderness there. And to a certain extent, we've got to get the assets sort of out on the paddock, so to speak, sort of, so you can have a walk around them. So when eventually I do interact or attract an expert person, they can walk around and they can say something, I can respond to it. It's a bit hard if it's all abstract. So I've got that up there. So the iTunes hooked up to it naturally. Then the up to Blogger, and there was a link there to actually get Twitter set up and have a specific Twitter account, which was for. And it's really interesting that there's Twitter. If you write something about a nerve gas or a venom, people are interested in, or some sort of disaster or exams, they're not interested in any thematic ideas on Twitter, whereas you've got different interests in different areas. In general, there's a whole series of computer level things that you do, programs that you open, and eventually if you can actually move those programs into either... There's like several layers you can operate it. You can operate it in a DOS shell or command shell. And if it has sort of text available input, so you can say the name of the program and a command, and it doesn't, spits it out again at a DOS level. So there's a sort of like DOS level programs. So you can either do that, or if the program's well enough written, it's a Microsoft program. It's got a X shell, a box, and you can actually address it programmatically in C++ or G, LabVIEW, a robotics language, and you can go into that. I don't know, it's a little bit different. It's cleaner in LabVIEW. Like, you pull up the entire operation, you can keep on feeding sequential ideas to it, but then you've always got the thing, you have to open and close your application, you've got to worry about the application. You don't have to actually worry about opening up too many instances of an application in DOS shell. However, because you can massively parallel program things, you can get things. If you go into parallel program, you suffer these things of just opening up too many applications, not closing them down, or having memory leaks, and so it'll work really well, and then it'll slow about half an hour in, and you go, oh, will it pull out? And usually it just crashes and locks up to the computer. And this is why you want a cluster of computers, if you can. And I can't, unfortunately. I've just got, but you have a cluster of computers, one development computer and several production computers, and you're working through the production, so the development computer, and let it run for a while, and then you just sort of move from computer to computer as you do it. There's the thing of, where does it logically go? There's obviously different styles of audience in LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, and each of these are ostensibly, let's go. And of course, if you can access it via command line, that's great. And then, of course, there's this new generation of stuff of Google Appies, which you eventually want to do. So the Google, sort of the prize appy, obviously, is the speech-to-text translation in Google. It's Google's YouTube captioning is just an order of magnitude above, for an Australian accent, order of magnitude above, totally above anything else out there, anything that you can download. So that's sort of a third way of using processes which are available on a Google Cloud server, and you talk to that. I'm really a bit unsure of that, because I've never had any great success, and that's something I'm up against at the moment. There's a whole series of things, and the basic crude control of podcasts in at DOS level is very easy. So you get one MP3 file plus another, plus MP3 file, next one, plus MP3 file, next one. Unless it's got the same bitrate, I realise that. You can actually send it up. It's a bit rough and ready, so it depends on what the application running is like. So if you've got VLC or something which is kitted out to actually mother files, it can take a file with a few steps of changing codes, and it's actually watching it all the time, whereas Google's a bit dumber. The Google, the Chrome one, it's just So, yep, got a file. Yep, I'll play it. Now, what else do you want to do? It's in like a Chrome's a bit like a fast food store. They're just trying to run applications really quickly. So this is where I did a series on Newton, and then when I went to listen back to it on the or just take an ear to it on the Chrome browser. So one of the the shortest shortcuts I think everyone's got is a browser application is quite good because you can go ahead. It's a bit of, I suppose I should advise people how to. There's plugins to the browser, which means that only the browser app plays. So unfortunately, a lot of people, if they don't have this plugin for Chrome, they'll have all, and it launches page after page after page. Those pages will start playing, and so the Chrome plugins have a little icon up the top. The actual, I don't know how they've done it. They've actually put a button up the top of their tab, so you can actually close and open a tab and mute a tab by actually touching it. It's actually quite ingenious there, and so. It's one of these things that you've got podcasting to do, and you think I've got to actually feed the beast of podcasting. But then you've got to do this entire thing about there's this sort of tension about is this problem just too big? Should I go away with it and let it stew for a week or two, or perhaps if I do one more thing, and you get sucked in for hours just doing really crazy stuff, which really gets them. The thing with YouTube is that I could convert a MP3 file to MP4 file using a system command line application called FFJPEG. You just basically, you say, look, any problem you've got, you just type it. It's like any molecule you want to look at. You type the name of the molecule and put Jmol, and it gives you a three-dimensional molecule. You don't have to be smart to these things. And so, if there's anything you really want to do on your computer, it does help if you've got a bit of LabVIEW, a bit of computer program behind you. But that look, the hard yards, so the imponderables have been all been pondered by a large computer community. It's all free of charge, and there's some sort of sharks out there who set a shingle and got a help desk, and which is slash dependency desk, and money and billing, and you actually pay a lot of money to pay a lot of money. It's like it costs a lot of them money to actually harvest the money, sort of like government. I think for every they're lucky that the government gets to spend at the end of the day 60 cents in the dollar, and you're lucky that for every dollar collected, you're lucky that 40 cents of the dollar actually gets spent on something worthwhile. Perhaps it's even less. So, in terms of a business proposition, government money is really not worthwhile. And a lot of the web propositions, there's a huge value for customers, but a very little small money goes out there. But nonetheless, for any sort of program that you could buy, there's command line prompts that you can actually go and work. And of course, these have stings in the tail, development things, or like there's sort of like hundreds of tags you can put in. So in a basic command line, you go into a command line. So I run off robotic software, which has got a command line prompt virtual instrument. And into that you put basically I can't really remember, or sometimes if it's just it depends where the command line is sitting. If the command line is sitting in the system wide, you can do KMD backslash K. I've forgotten what the backslash K is. It's this is my memory stuff. I've sort of got them in the back of my head, but I'll have to look it up. It's the command line, and the standard text input is the actual command. To actually get it to operate, you set your operating directory to the executable directory. I'm sure there's better ways of doing it, but I can't do it, and it doesn't really matter. Unfortunately, that if you just still a bit foggy, you have these executable directories just sitting miles and miles about the place. I haven't got any order to it. I haven't got a program such that you can monitor, you move an executable directory. I don't have the computer to program smart enough to actually start to, ideally, if I have a program using third-party stuff, I like to actually interrogate the computer to see if it's got the third-party stuff installed and worked. And that's a hard task. And so you've got this FFmpeg, that's right. It's FFmpeg. So it allows you to convert any file to anything just by command line. So what I did is the MP3 to MP4 file name, upload to YouTube, going well. Normally, if you put an MP3 file up to YouTube, it objects very, very well. So 20 minutes later, it goes, mate, I'm not doing it, it's not good enough. Look at you open the file, it looks like an MP4 file. It's got the sort of structure of it, but it hasn't got the picture stream in it, which I never have put a picture stream. So I had to go around and actually go through the labor of producing a picture screen to put on it. And it's finding a picture screen and how you actually put a static picture on it. And there's stuff that you can buy on the web which doesn't, but basically you want to get a picture screen, and the way that I've done it is just loop superimpose a static picture on the file, and put it up. Oh yes, that works up to YouTube. Yeah, this is the stranglehold. So you've got your podcast, you write a program which actually puts a picture on the data stream, which makes it look sufficiently like that. You think you're there, so you've got your picture there, and now you want to have the picture such that the text is up. There'll be nothing more destructive in YouTube, just have the same picture all the time. You need the picture differentiated so you get the text. And so to get the text, you pull down the JPEG file, and then what do you do? You pull it out to linearize it, so you extract the JPEG as this line of data, and the JPEG file tells you how you can fold it up. So you put it in there, and then you put it into the next virtual instrument, which refolds it up, and then you wire across the color data, the various data, and lo and behold, you can put it in a data box, a PIC format. I actually don't know what the format of this PIC data box is. And in that form, you can then have pixel level control, and you then say write text, centralized text, centralized vertical text at a point which is 50% the height, and so it goes directly in the center, and that comes out. And then you've got a picture box, and you've got to convert a picture box to JPEG, which is hard to do. Not hard to do, you then have to there's methods, and there's, look at the words gone from my head. There's methods and another word for another group of files. There's methods and applications, methods and D's are words gone to. For any object, you can apply methods and something or other to it, and one's called get picture. And so once you've got the picture, you can send that to a JPEG file again. So you've gone through this entire process of getting a JPEG file, stripping it out, flattening it, reshaping it, putting it into the picture format, then pixel level control to put your words on top of the words on top of it, then that's on a control, and then there's a, it's gone from my memory. So the memory's coming back, I was able to actually find these things, but I haven't been able to remember the name for it, so that's not much going on. People who are using LabVIEW will know all this. So you get the get picture, and you put that through, and that looks great. You can see a picture, it looks a bit shady, a bit not put quite right. I'll have to go into it. A bit of the borders a bit funny. Oh, I think I've cleaned that up. Yeah, I've solved that problem. I solved that problem by shaping the picture frame to the actual, physically shaping the picture frame to the actual data. So you get that, and it's all looking good, and then you put it on the, in the program, the FFmpeg program. This is just all a mile just to get this, and we're not even down to downloading it to YouTube by command line. We're just getting a file with automated such that it you stick in your USB into your computer. It comes up with, you know, these are your files, so you can click on them, listen to them, and then just title a bit of story, you know, something which is suggested, linked to it, and then it's off, published. You just then press button and it's all published on the internet. It's still not perfect. I still have to go in and put an e tag in there, which I'm just really hoping I can do that through another method. I don't have to open up Blogger again to see what's going on. So this is this stage, and you think, oh well, okay, yeah, you test this. So this little file with the LabVIEW version of an image which is looped over there, and of course there is a bug in LabVIEW. With the bug we don't know about, and LabVIEW is passing to this program, which again I don't know about, so I don't know what it needs and stuff like that. I don't know what LabVIEW is doing. I've got no idea what's going on. So it seems to work for sort of JPEG files produced professionally, but a bodgy JPEG file which you just sort of hammer together, it's sort of like doesn't fit in the pizza oven. The pizza oven is where it bakes the image and the audio together to send off to YouTube. And so there's another application, which is a command line application called Magic, M-A-G-I-C-K, Magic. And again, how that works. Yes, you're on? Okay. There's the Magic, which I've just actually got it to just detect a file and output a file. As simple as that. And that's solved. Now, of course, all these files are just plopping around in different directories around my computer, and I'll have to soup it up. So this is just a simple step of getting your podcast and getting it to pick a picture and put some text on it and get it ready to load up to YouTube. And that's there. I've been talking about this for 22 minutes, so you can imagine it's taken me more than 22 minutes to do. It's probably taken me, well, it's not direct, probably a couple of hours to get through this. So, yeah, that's a real bane. Of course, what we're looking at is some of these programs have taken years of work to get up there. These are really sophisticated, do-anything, really robust programs I'm sitting on top of, just trying to get access to. But, of course, you don't have the diagnostics. It doesn't tell you exactly what's happening, not going on. Now, of course, you want to get the Google Appies. And to get the Google Appies, I can't do it. Someone's set out 20 clear steps to follow, and the screens don't look like it, and they don't go the way you want to. And you have to get a computer authorization to use something called a JSON file, a JSON file, an authorization, Google applications. And of course, the little blighters take your credit card number in order to even get onto the Google console, which is still just teeth grinding. And of course, then they get you into install stuff, which makes your Google Drive bloat, so you have to buy Google. It's just insanely unethical behavior. And of course, I'm out here with no one to really help me get through the Google Appy stuff. And that's what it looks like. I wouldn't mind. I don't mind, you know, Robinson Crusoe rehabilitating myself single-handedly. I've got sort of no system. I'm beginning to get some some assistance coming up, hopefully, but sort of none from the employer and education department. I really wouldn't mind some expert help to get me through this thing. And they're not major things. I'm just trying to work out how you can command line send some stuff up to Google, YouTube. So rather than logging on to the application, you can actually just say, "This is the file. That's the text I want. Do it, mate," and put it up there. And there is command line stuff, but when you look at it and you say, "Oh, this is," you know, you read it, "This has been discontinued, that's been discontinued," and this is the truth of it. If you can actually find these quite sexy ways of doing things, they don't get supported forever. And the same is to Facebook. Obviously, so I've sort of lurched the way through to get it to produce to YouTube, a podcast up to YouTube, but I haven't been able to crack the Facebook. I've got the Facebook page. I think it's Dr. Hill Teach Me is the Facebook page for it, but they don't have, there's certain things which would be ideal if you could post by email or post by an appy. And there doesn't seem to be a way through that. So you have your podcast and all the social media thing are in Ireland. And look, I'm a bit suspicious in terms of they're sort of forcing people to post to YouTube, to a certain extent to YouTube, but also to Facebook. They're forcing people, if they want to access to data to Facebook, they have to log on, they have to read the advertisements, they have to read the suggestions, they have to wade through all this other material to actually get the piece of information you have. But if it's automated, you can actually, if everything is really highly automated, you can get it to just look, a piece of software to be looking at Facebook, to look at Facebook page and communicating a critical piece of information to I can sort of see why they're doing it, but they also want people to buy products to get onto Facebook. So they want you to buy a smartphone, and I really seriously doubt that you can actually get a smartphone emulator to actually trick podcast up to Facebook. That might be a way of things, but that'll eventually get there. As I said, it's just getting the actual shell of your building out onto the paddock, the contractors can walk around and work out what the best things to do. So that being said, I'm surprised it's taken that long to describe what's happening going along. And I do have lots of these in-process podcasts. So that's where it is, and so expect automated YouTube, I don't know, a couple of days, a week, give it a week before I crack how to actually do it. And you think that's a huge investment of time? It's not. It saves you buckets of time if it just automatically does it for you, and I can focus on the rehab of actually speaking and going through the various things. Thanks for listening.
Where are you going? What?
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.